Starting our theme scripture, Exodus 14. And we heard the whole chapter this morning, very comprehensive. A lot of great points about that chapter and how the Lord took them there deliberately, that they were trapped. And it was a real test of faith, wasn't it, in going forward. But that verse, it's funny, that verse has always been a bit of a go-to verse. And I discovered one day that it was also a bit of a go-to verse for Phil Rowley down in Bunbury. And we used to chuckle about it because we sort of both discovered, we were both quite amused by it, that the point where God is saying to Moses, why are you crying to me? You know, we both interpreted it. And this, you know, we can all sort of get little things from verses, can't we? You know, there's all sorts of layers, and sometimes we get something from it that perhaps we see. It speaks to us on top of what it's really saying. But we both sort of felt it was saying, you know, will you just stop talking and will you go forward? You know, why are you talking to me? It's time to go forward. And we've heard great talks about going forward and how that's necessary. We can't go backwards. If we go backwards, we sort of end up in doubt and lack of confidence. We even go back into Egypt, which is the world. So we're not going to do that. We've got to go forward. But there are times to talk and there are times to act. There are times to pray and there's time to get up off your knees and go and do something. And that's a bit how Phil and I saw it. And I want to talk today a little bit about that, about acting. Quite often we've seen in the scriptures characters in the Bible who were bold and impetuous. I bet you can think of a whole swag of them. In Peter, for example, how often was he bold and impetuous, and he just spoke before he really even thought about it, and he, you know, jumps out of the boat and he says, no, you know, I'll never deny you, and you know, I don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. You know, he's very impetuous. Caleb, the one who goes in to the spy out the land, his name actually means impulsive or something like that. I think it's impulsive. And that was his nature. And sometimes we have to be like that in the Lord, you know, in the Spirit. Because sometimes sensible is bad. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good. Hey, Zane. And just kidding, mate. That's all right. And perhaps Moses wasn't doing the sensible thing at the Red Sea, you know, when he said, okay, he held out his staff and they went forward. But, you know, who has ever seen a sea stand up like a wall, as we heard this morning, a wall on the right and a wall on the left, not just an east wind blowing it up in a heap, but, you know, the incredible high wall. Never. I mean, you wouldn't just imagine that could happen, or you have to just step forward boldly. And what stops us doing that in our lives? I mean, we're not in that situation, but we're in a similar situation where we're hemmed in, and perhaps the Lord has allowed us to go to that place. Where we're hemmed in and, you know, all in front is C, something impossible, and behind is death or something really bad for you, and there's nowhere to go. And he's watching us. He wants to see us take a step of faith, and we have to go forward, as he says here, that they go forward. And how do we do that? Well, I just want to share a little thing that I've discovered in my 29 years in the Lord, and that is using a certain thing that we have all got. But first we'll go to Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans 8. And just one verse here, verse 7. Let's make it two verses. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we heard this morning about death on one side at the hand of the Egyptians. They were going to kill them. And going forward seemed to be death, you know, going into the sea. Seemed to be, you know, not sensible at all. But we know that it's a type, actually. The Red Sea is a type of baptism, going through the waters and on the journey through the wilderness and going towards the promised land and so on. And we're sort of living out that type today. And we're in the Spirit now. We've got to get away from the carnal things. And the carnal mind, it tells us, is enmity against God. How do we get away from that? It's in here, isn't it? You can't run away from it. You carry it around with you. There's just no escape from it. And it's a battleground in there. You know, if it's enmity against God, well, it must be Satan that's kind of using it as a battleground, and you need all the armor that we heard about this morning to be on your guard against that enemy. But if he's in there and the carnal mind is enmity against God, what have we got? We've got the Holy Spirit, of course, but what have we got extra to fight back with? And I believe it is our will. And, you know, we heard this morning in Aaron's testimony when he said he had all these addictions and he tried to overcome them with self-will, but he failed. No Holy Spirit. How could he? But with the Holy Spirit, he conquered them. He was able to win that battle. His will, combined with the Holy Spirit, won that battle. And I believe there are many scriptures that are telling us about this. Now, we all have a will. I was just talking to Hayley Casarotto this morning and, you know, bumped into her in the campus kitchen there, and she was talking to Emily, and she said, I said, did she sleep well? And she said, she was sleeping okay, and then she discovered she has a will. In other words, I will not sleep. You know, her desire was... And so she's only not even 1 year old, but she's discovered she has a will. We all have a will, don't we? And a will is what we decide to do and carry out. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Many scriptures about this, I believe, but these couple that I've chosen sort of go straight to the point. So Paul here writing to the Corinthian church, and in verse 9, he reminds them, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." And he's reminding them about a certain situation where they decided to do something, and he said, "You did have this will to do this thing a year ago, but now I want you actually to do it." And that is the critical thing. To do it is the going forward. As you say, I am going to do this thing, even though my brain is telling me things like, "Oh, don't go to the meeting tonight, you're too tired, you're whatever," or just take the worldly answer to this problem, whatever it might be, instead of get down on your knees and pray and be patient, as we also heard this morning. That's what Spirit wants you to do, but the brain is sort of, it's all over the place, isn't it, and it's fighting against you. We do train it through the Holy Spirit, I believe, that mind that's enmity against God, but through repetition, through routine, through our will, through the routines that we establish, our prayer life, our attendance to meetings, our reading of the Word, and so on. Get the Spirit to overcome the flesh. But he says, now there's time to act. There was the perform the doing of it. There was a readiness to will. Now there needs to be a performance. And that's what we need to do. I can remember Pastor Kevin years ago, just, you know, would have been 15 years ago, saying, perhaps more, saying, you know, we want to improve your prayer life. Just do it. Do it today. And my prayer life was at a certain level, certain amount in the morning, and I thought, no, I've always wanted to get it up to this level, and I just went home that night, it was a Sunday night, and just thought, okay, I'm going to start today, and had it that night, and then from then on, you know, that length of time, every day. So it sort of pierced me, and it took an act of will to say, I will do that, I've heard it, God is speaking to me, I'm going to put it into action. So that's what we often need to do, not let the words just go in one ear and out the other and float away, but act. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, Paul, in the context here, is talking about helping other churches, you know, financially and so on. But the principle is there, spiritual principle, that we want to do something, the Spirit is provoking us, so let's do it, not grudgingly, just as unto the Lord, and be cheerful about it. Don't even think about the consequences, just do it and put it into action. You know, it could be tithing, as it is in this case, or it could be, you know, your prayer life, or it could be anything. You know, it could be reading the Bible from one end to the other, something you've always wanted to do but never actually got around to doing. So, well, I'm going to just jolly well do it. And I think there are so many stories in the Bible about this. I think at this camp already we've heard the one, I think it was Pastor Mike last night, the widow and the unjust judge, a story I often use, because God is saying in that story, I want you to be a pest. I want you just to... It's just a really strange story because he says God is like this unjust judge, and this woman, you know, wearies him, and he just says, oh, for goodness sake, I'm just going to give her what she wants. God is saying, I'm like that. I want you to be a pest, just annoying me almost. What about the story of the man knocking on the door at midnight? You know, and he says, even though he's in bed with his kids and he doesn't want to get up and it's midnight, because it's his friend and he says, I need bread, he's going to get up and he's going to go and open the door and let him, you know, get the bread and give it to him. And he says, you've got to be like the guy in the dark standing there, like George last night, standing at the window for 15 minutes right outside the campus kitchen in the cold. If you don't know why they did that, don't ask me, but it was a little game. So out in the cold, standing there at midnight, knocking on the door, it's dark, it's cold, might be 2 degrees like it was 2 nights ago, and you're just banging on the door and it's dark and, you know, no lights on. You think everyone's asleep, no one's ever going to hear you. But he says, knock and keep on knocking. And we often encourage people to receive the Holy Spirit that way. God wants you to just keep on knocking. He's going to open the door. He's promised. He can't lie. So keep going. And it's the same with everything we do. And it takes effort. It takes an act of will to keep knocking on the door, doesn't it? Not say, ah, oh, I've been asking so long, it's not going to happen. Dave gave his testimony. That was really great. And I could see that happening where Dave was really anxious and hard coming to the meeting, and he stared at the wall. And, you know, I'd look at him and think, why is he staring at the wall? But he stared at the wall because that got him through, and that's the only way he could get through. But he was there, and then he started coming to every meeting. And I remember one prayer and fast, he came and he just stayed for the whole day and he prayed, and I thought, he's really fighting. He's using an act of will here to get himself to absolutely everything, and he's going to stay at this prayer and fast right to the end, and he did. And then just seeing the improvement, as you heard in his testimony, was just fantastic, you know. And it was, he earned it in a sense. I mean, we don't earn anything in, you know what I mean. You know, he was diligent and approached the Lord and fought it out with an act of will. And even in the world, you know, we hear these stories of the will, how critical it is to success. You've got to persevere. You know, these stories of people in the Antarctic trudging through the blizzard and whatever, they just got to sort of put one foot in front of the other and keep going and not sort of give up the will to live and lie down in the snow and die and so on. You just got to keep going. I was trying to think of a story. I was remembering when I was about 17, a mate of mine convinced me to play rugby union. I'd sort of always played Aussie rules and soccer and stuff, and he said, because he was from Rhodesia, he should come and give it a go. So I played Colts rugby union for a couple of years, and it's a totally different game. Every man is responsible for your opposition number, and if he gets through the line, it's your fault, and you've got to stop him. You know, so if you're number 13, you've got to stop the other number 13, and if he gets through, you know, you're in the bad books. So, you know, at the age of 17, I wasn't very tall. I was taller than I am now, but I was about the same, actually. And we used to play teams like from the Lewin Barracks, the Navy team, and they were all 6'4". And, you know, you had your opposite number and thought, he's a big bloke. But you had to do it. So it was an act of will to say, I'm going to sort of wrap my arms around his legs one way or the other and try and bring him down. And, you know, and through that, you know, you developed your camaraderie with your teammates and all that sort of thing. But you had to use your will to sort of do something that wasn't pleasant and, you know, overcome your own fear as it was. And we heard that also this morning about, you know, quit you like men, be strong. And Paul says that, and it's actually in the Old Testament where they're encouraging the army. You know, just find that courage inside you to go forward, to do what has to be done, and exert your will over fear. And it can be all sorts of things, you know. It could be, you know, when it says they quit you like men, it's not just men, I'm be manly. It's, you know, often the most courageous people I've seen are these women, these little old women that go up and accost really scary looking people on the street and, you know, convince them to come to a meeting. So, you know, I'm very admiring of that. Matthew chapter 16. Did you ever hear the story about Spike Milligan? He was in World War II, and I think he had a bit of a nervous breakdown. He was accused of desertion or something, and he said, "I'm not a coward. I'm just a hero with coward's legs." This is a story where Jesus is asking, "Who do people say that I am?" But just after that, and Peter gives a wonderful answer, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, but Jesus says, "You know, my Father's revealed this to you." And in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Ouch. You know, Peter had just been praised for having a sort of divine revelation. "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And Peter was sort of channeling, you know, the things of God. And then next minute, you know, the carnal mind, enmity against God, he was savouring the things that be of men, saying, "Well, I don't think this. You should do this. I don't think you should go to Jerusalem and suffer these things and be killed and whatever it means to rise on the third day. Don't go and do that, Lord." And he rebukes him. "Be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee." You know, he's very bold and impetuous, but in a carnal way here. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're behind. I'm going forward. I'm going on with the things God wants. And that involves me exerting my will to go to Jerusalem." And we remember that there are other times that he was told not to go there, and he went. And he says, "I'm going. This idea has come from Satan." And I guess we get ideas like that into our mind, that sort of they come in and we think, "Oh, I could do this, could do that." But we need to say, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going that way. I'm going forward." Matthew 21. And verse 23, "When he, Jesus, was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." And I reckon we can update that a little bit to today and say, because John the Baptist is not around today, but we could say, the Bible, is it of God or is it of men? And so many churches, if they said, it's from God, well, why then don't you do it? If you say, well, it's of men, because that's often what they think, that it's just a fallible document written by men who, you know, it's a historical thing and, you know, mistranslated and this, that and the other, then, you know, they're not really believers in the scripture, which says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we could put that question to them, couldn't we? But read on a bit, verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of them twain, which of the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." And I just love that story, because all the words in the world, you know, I love Jesus, you know, I'm a Christian, all that, it doesn't mean anything, because they're not doing what God said. It's the one who said, you know, oh, I don't know, but they end up going. Like so many testimonies in this room of people who I heard one today, can't even remember who it was, sorry. You know, fought. The Lord got hold of them, scruff of the neck, in you come. You're here, you're mine. And, you know, that's the nature of testimonies in this fellowship, I believe, that God has brought you in with a unique story. And it's not a person who sat there thinking, I think I'll change my lifestyle and go to church and I'll find a nice church to go to and everything will be sweet and, you know, all that kind of thing. None of us did that, did we? No, God found us. We fought. You know, I can just look around the room, Lynn, and, you know, many others, you know, the stories of how you came and God just got his hooks in you. You couldn't get away and he brought you in. And we were like this son that said, no, I don't really want to be a Christian. Pastor Mike there, a year fighting it, you know, and but in the end you came. You did it. And so many people say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord and all that thing, but they don't do the things that he says. And so we've got to exert our will and we've got to do the doing of it. Okay, finishing up in Luke chapter 22. Talk is cheap. And that's what most of Christendom does. We are the doers, we hope. We like Philadelphia, love of the brethren, a little strength, haven't denied his name, about the Lord's business. And there's a proverb that I'm quite fond of in Proverbs 16. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Just do it first, the thinking will follow. Commit your thoughts to the Lord. No, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we can see here Jesus was human. He was in all points tempted as we are. He didn't want to go through that gruesome death, the pain. He's saying, if it's willing, you know, I don't want to do it. But his overriding will was, I will do your will. Not my will, but thine be done. So that was the ultimate clincher. I will do your will. And think about God's will. What was God's will? A God that sort of, his son asked, can I get out of this? Okay, son, I love you. I don't want you to go through that. You can. No, he said, my will is that my own son, my precious one, my only begotten, you will suffer this terrible death tomorrow, and I'll be watching. And that was his will. And he sets the pattern for us, doesn't he? God the Father, Jesus, whose will was to do his Father's will, and us also to do the Father's will. And all the people said, amen. Just finishing verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, as his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So rising from sleep, that's an act of will. Getting up and praying, that's an act of will too, and God will do the rest. And all the people said, amen.